Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you to our special Capital H edition of All Sides Weekend. I am here with artistic royalty in terms of Central Ohio. I am here with Linda Hassler, who is Director of Choral Activities at Capital University. I am here with Edward Liang, who is the Artistic Director of Ballet Met, who's been all over the world since I last saw you about 6 weeks ago. And Ronald Jenkins, conductor of the Columbus Symphony Orchestra's Holiday Pops and conductor of the Columbus Symphony Chorus and Minister of Music at First Community Church. That's a few of the things Ron does in his spare time. I welcome you all. I have asked you to come in here today because it's very hard to distill all of the wonderful dance, theater, and musical performances being done over the next few weeks for the holidays. But let's just highlight the three of you, and we'll do our best. First of all, though, I do want to make mention of the fact that tonight at 8 at Mershon Auditorium is the School of Music at The Ohio State University's 24th Annual Musical Extravaganza, not to be missed, especially A, for the quality, and B, for the way they do it. So if you're looking for a great, great show, not necessarily holiday-themed, that you need to be at Mershon Auditorium tonight at 8 for The Ohio State University. Having said that, Ronald J. Jenkins, the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops opens tonight. You apparently are the real Santa Claus, I know, does come down and make an appearance.
Absolutely.
So, but you are sort of the onstage young Santa Claus for the purpose of the performance. What's happening tonight and through the weekend at the Ohio Theater?
Approximately 300 performers, the symphony chorus, two choruses from Columbus Children's Choir, which number a little over 100 singers, dancers, professional dancers, children from Edwards Ballet Met Academy, and, of course, the wonderful Columbus Symphony Orchestra, and Santa and Mrs. Claus. If we do a really good concert, they have a tendency to appear at the end.
You have performances tonight, two shows tomorrow, and then again the Sunday matinee all in the Ohio Theater.
That's correct.
The Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops. Tell me how you put this show together. This is unabashedly a holiday Christmas program.
It's a holiday concert. We even do some music for Hanukkah, which this year, coincidentally, starts on December 24th. So when Christians are writing the Christ candle, members of the Jewish faith are lighting the first candle of Hanukkah. Yes, we do a little bit of everything from, well, we open with a wonderful overture written by a local composer, Craig Courtney. We do two settings of the Ave Maria. Our new concertmaster, Joanna Frankel, plays the Bach Gunnel with the women's chorus. The men sing the Beville Ave Maria. We do the Respighi, Adoration of the Magi, and that's some of the classical music in the first half. Second half is carol sing-along with the audience. We present the children's chorus who does some music of Britain and Rudder, and we get into some of the lighter things. And one of the favorite things, I think, for the audience is that we draw a name of a child somewhere between third grade and 12th grade, and they conduct the orchestra in Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride, which is always a special moment. We get some stars sometimes.
Well, one year I saw you did it. You had a young man who went up to conduct, and he so got into it, he didn't stop. and they went along with him, and I think you went out and had a cigarette or something.
I know. Guess. Well, I had given up smoking at that point, but it was wonderful. And I said, can I be your agent when you have a career? Because he was very talented
and very funny.
Then we found out he had been coming to it since he was 8 years old, because his mother sings in the chorus.
How long have you been in charge of these concerts?
34 years from
really?
The very first one.
And do you change it all? How do you come up with the formula of what you perform and who performs it?
I think that's a difficulty for all of us is to come up with a new way to spin the same story for the holiday season. I mean, we have some pieces that are traditional that we do every year. Some pieces I rotate over every 4 to 5 years, or this year it's like every – it's been 16 or 17 years since we've done a couple of the pieces. And then always some new things. We have commissioned over the years over a dozen works for this concert. So that makes it special.
And Linda Hassler, I asked you, very proud of myself. So, Linda, your concert at Capital University's Christmas Festival opens next weekend, and you gently said to me, no, we opened last night. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
I do thank you for coming after opening night and looking so wonderful and gorgeous and joining us today.
Well, thank you. I'm glad only you can see me.
What happened last night, and what do we have to look forward to this weekend over at Mays Auditorium?
Last night was a beautiful opening concert. Our concert, as Ron was saying, how you try to create an artistic piece in an evening. What we've been doing is organizing our concert with a theme. And so certainly Christmas is the beginning part of the story, but then there's a theme that we weave throughout the evening. It's a continuous flow of pieces. There are five choirs, the chapel choir. We have a chamber group that's an a cappella group called Philomel, the women's chorus, the chordsmen, and then a community group called the Choral Union. And there are about 40 instrumentalists, organ, brass, strings, percussion, and bagpipe, believe it or not, this year. And the theme is Now I See. And it does come directly from the well-beloved hymn Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And the message that we're trying to convey through all this beautiful music is more than ever, we need to start to see each other and the world through God's eyes, which means with love. We have a fractured world, and music is one of the most powerful ways to heal and to give us hope. And so this concert is filled with music that has sea themes. I can see the light of a clear blue morning. Dolly Parton goes right into And the Glory of the Lord Shall Be Revealed by Handel. Very good.
I don't want to sing in front of you, but okay.
No, that was not bad. We do have a community group. You might think about it.
I will. Yes.
So do I. So
okay, well, that's terrific.
I asked first.
I don't.
No. Edward, you've seen me dance. That's why you're not bringing that little quotient in there. It sounds, Linda, as if just about all the students in the conservatory are participating.
Not quite all, but many. There are about 200 performers.
Do you have to be a student at the conservatory to participate, or can you be in one of the other disciplines at Capital?
Absolutely. We have several students who are not music majors, but who participate. And I love their involvement because, again, they bring another element to the ensembles.
You have concert tonight?
Concert tonight, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon.
At Mays Auditorium.
At Mays Auditorium.
And shameless plug, if you want to know a complete schedule, as complete as I could make it, that includes our three guests today, dates and times, etc., I don't mind telling you, ChristopherCPurdy.blogspot.com. It's all there. ChristopherCPurdy.blogspot.com. Edward Liang, the Nutcracker, is loved. Everybody, it's like Messiah of Handel. One never gets tired of it. Seriously, no, it's impossible to get tired. You may get tired of it, being involved in it, but trust me, on this side of the footlights, people never do. This is Gerard Charles's choreography. You open on the 9th of December in the Ohio Theater and run, I believe, until Christmas Eve.
Yep.
With the Columbus Symphony conducted by Luis Biava. Tell us about your view, or Gerard's view, or Ballet Met's view of the Nutcracker this year.
Well, you know, we just came back from the Detroit Opera House, and, you know, we're so lucky that we are able to share this production, not only within Columbus, but this is the third decade that Ballet Met has producing and presenting the Nutcracker here in Columbus. And we're getting ready for the fourth decade. Next year will be our 40th anniversary. And what's really, I guess, timeless and what everyone loves about this production is goes back to, I think, what we're all trying to accomplish, whether it's Nutcracker or any other uplifting production, is really trying to tell the story of inspiration and love and family and tradition. And I think that is really the reason why Columbus has really embraced this particular production of the Nutcracker. Robert Post and Gerard Charles, I think they did a fantastic job in creating the first act. The first act of Nutcracker usually is a little less dancing, a lot more pantomime. It sets up the story. But what they've done with this first act is brought so much humanity, so much humor. It moves fast. There's a little bit for everyone. There's so many little backstories from corner to corner. So I really believe that this is probably the most successful ballet Met production of Nutcracker that we've had.
I know your dancers, many of them probably have Nutcracker's choreography in their muscle memory, in their DNA, but nevertheless, it's a huge show. It's a big undertaking. When do you begin rehearsal?
We usually start about 3 to 4 weeks ahead, and we started even before our last triple bill in the Ohio Theater. And it's not just getting the steps back into the dancer's body. We have to make sure that we're rehearsing the over 150 Academy students from Ballet Met to get them into their roles, and then bring both the company members and the students together to bring the production alive.
I saw you work during the production of Twisted Two with a lot of children, and you did not have a lot of time with them. And I saw you transform them into professionals. I saw that. I saw the look in their eye, and I saw the lights go on. So I think that's I think the kids will be a big part of the show, but I think Nutcracker and Ballet Met's always a wonderful presentation, and really anybody who loves dance and Christmas and music, you've got three people here. You have Ronald J. Jenkins, you have Linda Hassler and Edward Liang, who are part of a great community of giving you, as Linda said so well, what we need right now, which is a little love and a little beauty in our hearts for the holiday season. And they are all here in Columbus, Ohio. Let me ask you, Linda, since you work in an academic setting and a lot of your performers have hard to believe other commitments.
I know.
When you have your rehearsals. So when do you, because you're, as well as all of you are, this is a very large undertaking.
It is.
When do you begin work?
Right after our opening fall concert, which is early October. And honestly.
Oh, really? Not till then? Wow. Okay. Yeah, well, beat them up then, I would hope.
With love.
Yes.
Yes. And especially the older students, they've gotten used to the drill. But we do have to carefully plan our rehearsal time, and because they memorize all of their music as well. And there's constant movement in our concert. The audience is surrounded by singers, literally immersed in the concert. And so not only is there a lot of music to learn, but there's a lot of choreography. Maybe we could use your help, actually.
Yeah, we're here.
Yes.
Do you ever wear a whistle or want to wear a whistle on your neck?
I hadn't thought about the whistle, but yeah, I use my good voice,
Your 12-trained voice. Let me also tell everybody that later in this broadcast, we are going to be joined by Carol Agero and Sarah Smalley, who will be in to talk about sensory-friendly performances for the holidays, specifically an offering being given by the New Albany Symphony on December 17th. So I want you to hang around for that. We're going to take a break right now and come back and talk more about the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops, the Nutcracker, and the Christmas Festival at Capital University, all going on now. Don't go away.
This is 89.7 NPR News. And join us at noon for Fresh Air and remembering artist William Crissenberry. Much of his art was about the rural South. That's from noon until 1.
Hi, it's Chris Thiele inviting you to tune in this weekend as a Prairie Home Companion heads to New York City for a live broadcast from the Town Hall on West 43rd. With special guests Marcus Mumford, Corinne Bailey-Ray, and Trevor Noah. Also, of course, music director Rich Dworsky, the First Call Radio Players, my duet partner will be Gabby Moreno, and the Royal Academy of Radio Actors will be there. I'll have a brand new song of the week, plus a whole lot more, if you can believe it. Hope you'll join us.
Saturday evening at 6 on 89.7 NPR News.
Be bit of the Waltz of the Flowers from Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker. We're talking with Edward Liang, the artistic director of Ballet Met. His production of The Nutcracker, choreography by Gerard Charles, the Columbus Symphony conducted by Luis Biava, and a lot of wonderful dancers opening at the Ohio Theater on December 9th. But I want to just briefly touch on, Edward, some of the travels that you've undertaken since I saw you last. You've been in Vienna. And also, remind us about Detroit, about the relationship with the Detroit Opera House.
The Detroit Opera House is a producing opera company, and they're just incredible. But they bring a lot of dance to Detroit. And for the past 7 years, we've been going to Thanksgiving weekend. We've been traveling to Detroit with the whole company and some of the Ballet Met Academy. And we perform four performances at the Detroit Opera House.
Of Nutcracker.
The Nutcracker.
Wow, so good.
And it's great. You know, it's a great feeling that we're exporting our art even within the Midwest. And so it makes us feel good that people want us.
And aside from eating schlag, what were you doing in Vienna?
I was opening the same ballet that we created, well, that we premiered here for the last triple bill, Murmuration. And I brought it to the Vienna Opera House. And I was really lucky to have that experience. It was great.
Well, the Staatsoper was lucky too, Edward.
Oh,
Edward,
thank Lang, you.
You export it back. Ronald Jenkins, you are opening tonight. Is it the 34th edition of the Columbus?
That's correct.
Columbus?
We actually last year gave our 100th performance, and we're starting on a new 100 tonight.
Yes. It never gets old for you. Clearly it doesn't, if having been in the house watching and listening.
I do love the experience. It's something for the ear as well as the eye. When you arrive downtown and you park in the underground there and you come up and the Columbus Commons is just beautifully lit, and then you walk around to the theater and the lobby, the trees and all the decorations there. Then you come into the theater and the wonderful job that Jason Gay and his crew and Will Davis do with lighting and decorating the place. So it's set. I mean, we have a beautiful space, and then the music and dance happens with that.
When you mentioned how beautiful the Commons is, well, lit up, I think of Bill Connor. God may he rest in peace, because he was a big part of making that happen. Yeah.
Right.
And, good to, if there is a Santa Claus in heaven, it's probably Bill Connor by now.
I think so, probably.
He was. Yes.
And he's organizing them. Yes.
And he is organizing them, and he's probably swearing at them too. But anyway, what are we going to see in here then this weekend?
Well, in addition to the pieces that I talked about earlier, one of my favorite pieces. Again, a local composer that works with Linda, Craig Courtney, wrote a piece for my mother's 80th birthday of like 27 years ago. It's called a historical but spelled hysterical review of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And he's very talented. He took the tune and he set it as Handel did, copied a little bit out of Messiah. Then he set it a little bit as Beethoven did in the Ode to Joy and Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Then he does a spoof on opera singers and gives an aria on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to someone more likely to appear in a Donizetti opera. And he has a little Bizet Carmen in the piece, and it finally ends with his own setting. And it's very, very clever and not easy to sing, but an immense enjoyment for the singers and the performance, and I think the audience.
Did your mother get to hear it?
Yes, she did. She was alive then.
Did she laugh?
And she did laugh. I think her big moment was when Santa Claus gave her a dozen roses, but that was.
I hope she looked for diamonds in the roses, too.
But sure.
That's part of the show. It's tonight and two tomorrow.
Right.
And Sunday afternoon.
Right.
In the Ohio Theater, the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops.
614-228-8600.
Well, thank you for that. And how about Linda Hassler? Now, do we have dueling concerts here? It's the same weekend, but there's something for everybody, and there's more than one performance, so there's no reason not to go to everything. You can go to everything.
You can.
Yes. And some of us do. What are we going to hear at Mays Auditorium? How many conductors do you have, if I may be so bold?
You may be so bold. So there are three of us who conduct: Craig Courtney and my colleague Lynn Roseberry, who's also the dean of the conservatory, and myself. And speaking of Craig, he's also arranged a couple pieces that were premiering in our performances for our combined women and our combined men. And what you were saying, Ron, reminds me, because he arranged the Do You Hear What I Hear, which is also Do You See What I See? That's how it opens. Right. And he's cleverly written in sort of a soft jazz feel. But between every verse, he is inserting familiar carols. And so it's like, do you hear what I hear? It's delightful. And for the men, he arranged a setting of People Look East, which is in sort of a Irish jig style. So it's a really wonderful moment in the concert. There's a African style praise song that all of the choirs in all the aisles and on stage sing. There's Mendelssohn and Hassler, but there's also Peter Gabriel. And I think one of my favorite moments in the concert is Philomel, this a cappella group that has 13 singers in it, and they sing without a conductor. I don't know how exactly, but I landed on the idea of Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, the Frankie Valli, and we're pairing it with Silent Night. And the idea is we're thinking of ourselves like we're with the shepherds at the manger. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I want to hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive.
Is it a cocktail? Is it a long last love? Linda, how long have you been at Capital University? Talk about yourself a little bit. Let me ask you about yourself.
Well, this is my 26th year at Capital. So as I jokingly say, I've been there longer than all of my students have been on the planet. Yes.
And where is home for you? Where were you trained? What is your background?
Yeah, I was born in Platte, South Dakota, a small town, farming community. But I quickly, you know, found out that I love music and started taking piano lessons. And, you know, I was kind of one of those, I guess, big fish in a small pond. Everybody in the town knew that Linda Hassler could, you need somebody to play, she'll do it, she'll sing. And I loved it. Then I went to Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan, really strong music program there. And from there, I taught high school, elementary, junior high, and started my master's at Michigan State University and ended up going on right directly into my doctorate from there.
What do you look for in potential students who want to come to the conservatory at Capital University? Because I'm sure you probably sit in on a lot of auditions for high school kids who are trying to get there. And that's hard for them, and it probably is hard for you. And
yes. Yeah.
In a perfect world, you'd take everybody. But what do you look for? What stands out?
Well, certainly there's a level of talent that we're looking for. You know, what's interesting with singers is because we all have a voice, it's not an automatic that you get lessons to sing. You get lessons to play the clarinet. You don't show up an audition to be a music major without having had lessons. But the other beautiful thing about the voice is you can get born with a beautiful instrument. And so, as I said, we're looking for a certain level of talent, how much they've worked at developing that talent. Their musical ear is probably one of the most key things, is can they hear back what I play to them? And then an overall spirit about them, because you have to work hard and have a fire in you if you want to pursue music as a career.
It's like dance as well. You do it because you can't do anything else. You can't not do it.
I always say that music chooses you. Right. You don't choose it.
And you better love it a lot because it doesn't always love you back.
That's right. That's right.
I understand also that Capital has a lot of opportunity for students in music to study music business.
Yes.
Which I think is crucial these days.
We have a very strong music business and music tech program,
actually.
And we just opened our new Convergent Media Center, which is really gorgeous, high-tech, everything, and we're looking forward to developing that program. So it's very exciting.
And you mentioned that Lynn Roseberry is the head of the conservatory now.
Yes,
and she herself is a fine singer.
She
and
is.
A fine musician. So it's good to know that she's there as well.
Yes.
And again, you have a performance tonight in May's Auditorium. And when else?
Saturday night at 7:30 and Sunday afternoon at 3:30.
And good luck getting tickets because it's a
yeah. That's true.
You can yeah, put a sign, need tickets, and stand on 315 or something, or stand out on 70 West,
yes.
and you'll do well. But that's certainly a testament to you that you sell out four performances, and that's terrific.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
To
thank
that.
You.
And Ronald Jenkins, give me a little bit of a bio, too. Let's reintroduce you to everybody. Since you've been here 35 years, people think they know you, but I'm sure there's a lot they don't know.
Oh, my. Well, I was raised in a small Southern Baptist church, and my dad stood me on the communion table when I was 5 years old to sing my first solo in church.
Which was?
At the Cross.
Sing it now.
Oh, my goodness, no.
No.
No. But I started taking piano, and they were smart enough to get some good advice. We lived in a suburb of St. Louis. And they took me to the conservatory there. So I started theory and piano lessons at the age of 9 at the conservatory. So when I got to college, I could opt out of the first year of theory class. Went to a wonderful little liberal arts school, William Jewell College. And
Of course, yes.
Yes, in Liberty, just north of Kansas
very
City.
Very fine recital series there for years.
Right.
Yeah,
Pavarotti gave his first American recital at William Jewell. Went on to Florida State University, and I was down there when the wonderful opera composer Carlisle Floyd was teaching there. Came back to St. Louis to attend Washington University, was assistant to the director of core activities to work on my doctorate. Ended up coming to Columbus about 4 decades ago and at the church. And then one day, Evan Whalen called me and said, I'd like you to come down and talk to me about the symphony chorus, and that got started there.
And you've been in charge of music at First Community Church for a number of years as well, haven't you?
44
years. I'm Christopher Purdy. You're listening to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about holiday offerings in Central Ohio going on tonight and really through, thanks to Edward, through Christmas Eve and first with performances of Nutcracker. In a few moments, we're going to be joined by Carol Agaro and Sarah Smalley. We're going to be talking about sensory-friendly holiday performances in Central Ohio. Linda Hessler is here, Director of Choral Activities at Capital University. She is conducting tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday a magnificent, you call it a Christmas festival?
Yes.
Yes. And your theme this year is?
Now I See.
Now I See at Mays Auditorium. I'm saying good luck with tickets. You know what? Show up. I know where the back door is, and I'll stand out with a big sign, and I'll
yes.
walk you around because too many
Thank
people
you.
Is always a good is a good thing. But
That's
seriously,
right.
I mean, you none of you are have a lot of free a lot of available tickets. So get there, make those calls now, folks. And Edward Liang is the artistic director of Ballet Met. He's a very busy guy. Ballet Met's production of Nutcracker opens on the 9th of December and runs to the 24th with Luis Biaba conducting the Columbus Symphony. Tell us then, Edward, what happens after Nutcracker for Ballet Met? What's coming on for the rest of the season?
Wow. Right after Nutcracker, we get ready for Michael Pink's Peter Pan. And it'll be at the Ohio Theater, the 10th, 11th, and 12th. It is such a of February,
okay.
Sorry.
Right.
And it's such a magical production. There's so many productions of Peter Pan. And the reason why we decided this particular production is that it is a little bit of everything. There's wands that children get to reawaken Tinkerbell when she gets hurt. And also is that we're working with this company called ZFX with flying. So there's a lot of characters that fly all over the Ohio Theater.
Do your dancers like that?
Some.
Yeah.
And some are a little afraid of heights.
Right, yes. So.
Yeah.
And that's a big ceiling, too, in the Ohio Theater.
Very, very. And we're rehearsing them. Actually, at Ballet Met, we're breaking down our black box theater so that they can practice for a couple weeks flying.
My feeling is that they're going to make you fly just first before they do it. If the boss if the boss agrees to do it, then
I'll do whatever it
I
takes
won't be
to.
Able to say no.
I'll do whatever it takes to make sure that, you know, the dancers feel confident.
What is the music for this production?
It's actually a mixture of I'm sorry, my brain right
That's
now
okay.
is not working, but it's mostly new composition.
Good. Who needs Mary Martin? She's in heaven. We've got Everett Liang's production of Ballet Met. It's Michael Pink's choreography, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes. He's the director of Milwaukee Ballet.
Right.
And this production was filmed for PBS. And so I think if the audience wants to see a little sneak peek, just go and check out PBS.
PBS.org.
Yeah.
That would be good for us. Thank you. That's good to know as well. Are you taking that on the road as well? Are you touring more?
We are going to, again, get ready for another triple bill. And we're presenting Fool's Paradise by Tony Award-winning choreographer Christopher Wheeldon. Then we're bringing back 18 plus 1 from Gustavo Ramirez Cinzano, which was a huge hit
here.
That
was indeed.
And then I'm doing a brand new work with composition by Gabriel Gaffney Smith, one of our dancers. And it's going to be in rain and water. So that's really, really fun.
That's wet for the dancers, not for the audience.
Not for the well, let's hope not.
Let's hope not. Yes, and so is this the first time you're collaborating with Gabriel as a composer? Because I know he does. He's a multi-talented guy.
Very, very talented. This is the second time. Last year we did a ballet together, and it was a co-production between Washington Ballet and Ballet Met, and we did it here and then also at the Kennedy Center. So that was really nice.
Ballet Met is traveling a lot, aren't they? I mean,
we're
pretty much a lot more than other companies maybe of this size.
I think we're trying to. And, you know, we're just like I think in the Columbus spirit is that we're trying to collaborate as much as possible with all the different organizations. For our 40th anniversary, we're going to be collaborating with the Wexner Center and also OSU Dance. So we're really trying to like be a part of the community because that's why we're here.
And the more you grow, the more community does as well. It works both ways. That's
Absolutely.
Terrific. Ronald Jenkins, the Columbus Symphony Chorus, which is all volunteer and magnificent, and I think we should stress all volunteer because
right.
they work so hard. I know you have a big Mahler Symphony coming up in the spring. What's going on after the Holiday Pops?
Well, we just in this fall did the Verdi Requiem
yes.
with Rasa Milanoff, who is quite wonderful. I mean, that man is really excellent conductor and knows how to get the best performance.
I'm still recovering from that Verdi Requiem.
Well,
so
yeah.
incredible. Yeah.
yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And then so we started working on the Holiday Pops right after that. So it was 4 very intense weeks.
Never mind eternal rest. We have to do Frosty the Snowman now. We have to switch. That's how you have to switch gears here, right? Yeah.
yeah. We have we're part of the Russian festival, the second Russian festival in March. We're doing the coronation scene from Mussorgsky's Boris Godunov.
Slava.
And we're also doing some Tchaikovsky in that concert, then the Mahler third. And then he has us programmed into the opening of the summer series out on the Columbus Commons. Last year, we went to Chautauqua, and where he's also the music director.
Right?
And did Alexander Nevsky there. And I think there's plans perhaps for us to go back again.
Okay, I'm going to go with you this time because I didn't go last
you
time.
You are more than
I'm
welcome.
I'm riding on the bus with you.
Do you want to sing this time?
You don't want to hear me sing, but I'll come and do commentary. Or I'll stay out of the way is what I'll do. And Linda Hassel, what are your concerts coming up after the holiday? Because you do a lot over there.
We do. And I think one of the ones that I'm the most excited about, we're having a composer in residence come to Capitol for 2 days, Jake Runestad, who's a young Minnesota composer who's writing a lot and very successful, will be with us, and all of our choirs will be doing some of his literature. We'll collaborate together. There's some pieces with instruments that we'll do. And I also bought into a consortium, so there's a premiere that we'll be doing, and it's really interesting texts actually about depression and dealing with depression. So that engagement with the text and with the composer and all of the choirs is very exciting.
That will also engender a lot of, I think, necessary conversations as well.
It will.
That's
yes,
wonderful.
Very important.
Linda Hassler is director of choral activities at Capital University. She is on stage with her colleagues tonight and through the weekend at Mays Auditorium for a mm-hmm. Christmas festival. Come see. What do you see? What's the theme again?
Oh, Now I
now
See.
Now I See. Now I See Edward Liang, who is the artistic director of Ballet Met, their production of Nutcracker with Gerard Charles choreography, December 9th through the 24th at the Ohio Theater. Luis Biaba conducts the Columbus Symphony. And Ronald Jenkins conducts the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops, opening tonight at 8 o'clock in the Ohio Theater, running through the weekend. I thank you all so much for joining me and giving us this preview of what's going on with the holidays. For all you do through throughout the year.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm Christopher Purdy for All Sides Weekend. Don't go away. We're coming right back in about 90 seconds to talk about sensory-friendly performances for the holidays. We are back. Thank you very much. I do want to thank Edward Liang, Linda Hassler, and Ronald J. Jenkins, who were my guests. We were talking about all the marvelous concerts coming up, ongoing between now and the end of the year for the holidays in Central Ohio. There are two that I want to make sure I also mention. Tonight at 8 in Mershon Auditorium, the 24th Annual Musical Extravaganza from the School of Music at The Ohio State University. And also the Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra and the Lancaster Chorale are collaborating with the Saint-Saëns Christmas Oratorio, conducted by David Donsmeyer, the 10th and the 11th. You can learn more, I don't mind telling you, at christophercpurdy.blogspot.com. It is all there. I am delighted to welcome Carol Aguirre, who is Development Director at Bridgeway Academy. And she has brought with her a debutante, somebody here for the first time. Sarah Smalley is the parent of two young men on the autism spectrum, very active in the advocacy community. And we're here to talk about what we call sensory-friendly performances. There's going to be one for the holidays on the 17th of December, that being a Sunday, I think, is it?
A Saturday.
A Saturday at 11:30 in the morning at the McCoy Performing Arts Center in New Albany, the New Albany Symphony. The New Albany Symphony has done this before. They have been very successful. They are not the only ones doing these kind of performances. And when I want to know more about these activities, I always call Carol, and Carol is here. Carol, take it away.
Good morning. How are you today? Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes, this is what 60 looks like. Go ahead.
I'm thrilled to be here. We were engaged with the New Albany Symphony Orchestra when they first started kind of thinking about doing these sensory-friendly performances. They've done a great job of reaching out to the community. They put together kind of a committee or a team to help them think about the best way to execute the performances, how to make sure families come, feel comfortable. Sarah can talk a little bit more as the parent in attendance about what that environment was like. But I will tell you that Heather Garner and Luis Biava in New Albany are just really creative in thinking about how to reach everybody in the community through their performances. So they made sure that there was a social story, for example, on the website that families could use in advance of the concert so that they could talk about what to expect.
What is a sensory-friendly performance? What does that mean?
So what that means for many families is lights on a little bit so that the kids are able to move around and they can see where they're going, and it's accepted that they're up and jumping and enjoying the show the way they enjoy life. For some kids, it means the volume's not quite as loud. You know, things can be turned down a little bit so it's not overwhelming them, or they're welcome to bring and wear their headphones and no one's offended by that. They realize they're still loving and enjoying the music in their own way. We're able to go to the spring concert that the New Albany Symphony Orchestra did, and it was an incredibly inviting atmosphere. They announced before the concert even began, feel free to move about, feel free to get up and jump around.
Change seats,
which we did once. He wanted to get closer as they got involved. He really enjoyed it. We started in the back. We moved up toward the front. It really sometimes just means it's a non-judgmental audience. You know, my older son could probably go to a typical movie and he would enjoy it. The others around us might not, because he does like to, you know, make his sounds and get up and jump around and enjoy it in his way. When you go to sensory friendly, whether they're typical families or just families with young children or special needs families, everyone accepts that and expects that.
We are talking about kids on the autism spectrum, but not only kids on the autism spectrum, and mm-hmm. not only kids, really. These are performances for people who may have trouble having a lot of things thrown at them to see, to hear, to feel, to touch. I know the Columbus Children's Theater has done sensory-friendly performances, and I know that there are a lot of you out there, and if you want to let us know, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or go to allsides@wosu.org if you are offering sensory-friendly performances. Let me ask Carol, do you or Sarah, do you go and have to teach the befriending organizations how to do this?
Sometimes, yes. I think the really important thing to remember is that this is not a performance that is only for families that have children with special needs. Or in New Albany's case, they're also inviting the Alzheimer's community, which I think is fascinatingly interesting and wonderful. But it's really for families because everybody can come, everybody can enjoy whether or not you have any kind of special need for your own family to be there. So in many cases, and in, with my partner from Very Special Arts, VSA Ohio, Aaron Hoppe,
yes.
Amy Hess, Autism Society of Central Ohio, we get calls. We really want to reach out to your community. Can you help us think about how to do that? And we're really happy because our families, our constituencies are the ones that benefit from having great arts and cultural experiences in their community that they can take their kids to.
And Sarah, you would know how to do it, I would think, about telling people, presenters, what, for example, your kids need to have in place, or some level of freedom, frankly, that they need to have in place to really enjoy the experience. Can you talk a bit about what that is?
Yes. They need to be able to move around. They need to be able to be themselves. Some kids want to dance. Some kids want to sit in a corner and, you know, maybe in a beanbag chair rather than a supported seat. It's going to look different for every kid, and they just need to be allowed to do those things and that be accepted. And, you know, some of our kids benefit so much from music and theater. They really connect to it. So having these types of performances available is huge.
What you're doing, too, is you're massaging, if you will, their vestibular functions. You can do a little. It can go either way with that, though. So you do have to know what you're doing in that. And I think that's where Bridgeway Academy comes in, which is the Carol, which is the school that you're very much involved with. Talk about Bridgeway a little bit in their program.
Sure. So we're a center that works primarily with children with autism and other developmental disabilities. Right now, we have students early intervention through 10th grade. We have a lot of things that make us really unique, but one of the things that is really pertinent to this conversation is our music therapy program. We have four full-time music therapists, and then I believe we have four music therapy interns in our building right now. Music therapy is a part of every one of our students' day. They will have one-to-one sessions. They'll have dyad or group sessions. We have choir with our older students.
What does music therapy do? Tell
them. Music therapy is a way of addressing academic or behavioral goals that through music intervention, and it's a very specific way of addressing those goals. And I'm not a music therapist, but I can tell you, and I'm sure Sarah can say even more, it's highly beneficial for students. We have a lot of students who might make their first verbal sounds.
Both of my sons.
in a music therapy session.
Would they talk to, were they sung to and given words that way, or how did that work?
Yeah, so for the kids who aren't yet verbal, it often begins in a fill-in type of situation. So they'll sing songs that they know the kids love and connect to, whether that's Maroon 5 or Sesame Street, which are both popular in my home.
And yesterday there was a video of the alphabet with a child singing for the
first
time.
One of our good friends.
Yeah.
So they will leave blanks and see if the kids can make, they're so intrigued by music and so tuned in, and the eye contact and the things they get just don't happen elsewhere. And they'll leave a blank, and they might have to leave that blank there 30 times. But when that child for the first time speaks and fills that in, music therapy is now the best thing in life.
I understand, Sarah, you have two boys.
Yes.
How old are they?
They are now 8 and 11.
When were they diagnosed, or when did you first notice something was up?
My oldest, Brady, was diagnosed at 21 months.
Really?
Yeah. We had him in speech therapy by 16 months because he had lost the few purposeful words he'd had.
So was that a cue when they as babies, when they lose?
Loss of skill is actually one of the easiest ways to see autism early. And my youngest, who's now 8, Ty, he was diagnosed around 15 to 18 months.
Okay. Have they been to sensory-friendly films? What else is out there?
Yeah, so we've been to many sensory-friendly movies. There's actually one.
Was that Polaris? Or there's one, or one theater, I think, makes a point of doing them on Saturday mornings?
Yeah, there's a few, actually. Okay. Lenox AMC Theater does. Marcus at Crosswoods
does.
That's
the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
right.
we've been to both. And then Carol has shared with us here, Ohio State, the Neisonger Center at Gateway is now offering them as well. They have one coming up on December 10th.
So that the films are maybe the lights are not dimmed all the way.
Correct.
The sound is turned down.
That's
a
right.
little bit.
Yes.
But really, I think what you're talking about is that the kids or whoever in the audience just are you know, you're meeting them where they are.
That's
not
right.
where they have, where you need them to be, where
exactly.
some imaginary person needs them to be. If they need to walk around, I know in New Albany they have like a safe room, I think.
They do, yes. Yeah. And oftentimes a quiet room provided just for somebody maybe to step out for a moment and gather themselves is a really wonderful opportunity for families. Because it may not mean they need to leave the performance. They just might need to take a break for a moment.
Yeah. The New Albany performance we're talking about is on the 17th of December at 11:30 in the morning at the McCoy Performing Arts Center. I believe it's about 45 minutes. It's a holiday-themed performance with the New Albany Symphony conducted by the very busy and very dear, charming Luis Biava,
so
who is wonderful yeah. with this. I mean, he's wonderful with this constituency
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the one last year where there were it seemed to me that the kids would have stayed for more, in fact. I mean, it was just enough. I mean, maybe the parents wouldn't have, but the kids, because it is nerve-wracking being the parent, you know, in that.
It is.
It is.
And it was just enough. I mean, it was perfect. We were still happy, and it's always good with our kids to leave on a good note.
That's right. Leave a little or too soon before,
yes.
before it's too late. Are there things that you would have changed, or are there changes you would have made for the way things are presented, Sarah?
The concert we went to in the spring was done perfectly. I really didn't see any need. I am excited to hear about the break room. If that was there then, we just didn't need to use it, so I wasn't aware of it.
Well, I didn't see a lot of kids leave.
Mm-mm.
I mean, some
no.
of them walked around, but nobody left. Nobody went crying. There was no...
No, there was no drama at
all.
It was really great.
I wasn't quite sure what to expect, but it was like being at a family concert,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was just comfortable for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Carol, is there a point where you might have recognized that this need existed?
Sure. Well, yes. I come from an arts and culture administration
right.
background. And so it was really obvious to me as I started working in this field that there wasn't a lot of across the board efforts being made to welcome this community into performance halls. And so I spent a lot of time talking with my friends about that. I know Kappa has begun doing great performances now. The Columbus Children's Theater has long been in the space. COSI has done some great work.
Now churches are doing it. Churches are
yes.
having services for
families with special
needs. 25
mm-hmm.
minutes. They're quiet, mm-hmm. And you can carry on if you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like Sarah mentioned, this is about letting everybody enjoy the performance in the way that they enjoy the performance. And there's no judgment and there's no shushing. There's no sit down. Everybody can just engage in the way that's really comfortable for them.
We have a call from Marie in Columbus who has a recommendation. Hi, Marie. Go ahead.
Hi, Carol. Hi, Sarah. It's Marie Crawford.
Hi,
hey,
Marie.
I'm hearing you guys. I think it's great. I'm with the Autism Society of Central Ohio. The one thing I wanted to mention was that the Ohio History Connection has been doing sensory-friendly things.
Great.
And,
good.
And Dickens, I don't know the exact date. I believe it's the 15th. There will be a sensory room available for families so they can go and enjoy Dickens.
Great.
We've done it for them for their Storybook Village and for their All Hallows Eve.
Great.
So the other thing I wanted to do shout out is that we're actually going to have a night at the museum. Also there, doing a sensory-friendly autism event.
At the History Center?
Yes. on February 11th. We're in the process of doing it.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you. I'm sure if you Google the Ohio History Connection, you can get all the information you need about that. So it's really being taken up everywhere else is going. What needs to happen now, Carol?
Well, I think getting the word out to families is really, it's a little tricky to do. And I think, I can't speak for Sarah, but sometimes it's really hard for parents to make that leap, to go to that first performance, to do that first thing. A couple of years ago, Kappa did a really great opera presentation up in the ballroom of the Lincoln Theater that was really fun. There were 30 or 40 people there, but oh my gosh, it was really engaging and fun, and it was a great first step for families. So I really think the effort is getting the word out and having families feel comfortable enough to go.
Sarah, we only have a minute left, but I just wanted to ask you as a parent, and I've been there myself. I mean, did you kind of dread attending your first one?
So I'll admit, when we went to the spring show, I only took my oldest son. My youngest tends to be the louder, crazier, rambunctious guy. So we wanted to feel it out. And you'll better bet they're both going this month.
So it worked.
It worked. I'm not afraid. I'll have someone with me to help. But I'm really looking forward to it for both of them.
And the presenting organizations seem to understand that they provide quiet rooms, and they make it the key word is welcome. Be yourself. Be who you are. Don't be who you think we need you to be. If you need to walk around, if you need to carry on, do it and enjoy. Carol Aguirre is the development director at the wonderful Bridgeway Academy. You're in the Madeira School, what used to be the Madeira
That's
School.
That's correct, yes.
In Columbus, K through 10 now, is that right?
Yes, yeah. Early intervention actually through 10, and we'll go all the way through 12 with our students.
And you
now
have latchkey and early too as well.
We do.
You got it all. And
we
Sarah
do.
Smalley is a parent who has been in the wars and knows really well how this goes. I thank you both very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Friendly Performances. I'm Christopher Purdy. I host for All Sides Weekend. I thank you all. Thank you, Shyla Knott, who does all the work on the other side of the glass. Thank you, Shyla, our assistant producer. Thank you, Michael DeBonis. The All Sides interns are Walter Haub, Jessica Shakespeare, and Shelby Powers. Video production by Rich Karsminski and Amber Karsminski. I'm Christopher Purdy. Happy holidays. Wherever you are, get out. Go.